Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we watch Israel rip into two like a cheap suit. In the last chapter, Solomon, Israel's richest ruler, dies, and his son Rehoboam takes over. If you remember, though, we've already caught a glimpse of the coming civil war, where the country will rip into two pieces like a garment, as Ahijah the prophet, with his fancy ripping cloak, showed us. Rehoboam, in verse 1, went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard this, he was still in Egypt, where he'd fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. So they sent to Jeroboam, and he and his whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, "Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you." Rehoboam answered, "Go away for 3 days, and then come back to me." So the people went away. By the way, as an aside, this is a great way to handle a big decision. As young people, it's a great lesson to learn early in life. Never feel forced to give an answer based on somebody else's timetable. When pressed for a decision, always give yourself a little time to think and pray something over, and like Rehoboam, actually to seek wise counsel. Now, in this case, Rehoboam did well in seeking counsel. The problem is, he rejected the wise counsel he got and sought the wrong counsel from a bunch of millennials.
Okay, boomer.
Verse 6. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. "How would you advise me to answer these people?" he asked. They replied, "If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them, then give them a favorable answer, and they will always be your servants." There's a saying, young men think old men are fools. Old men know young men are. Now, here's the interesting thing. They gave great counsel. Part of leadership is serving. In fact, it's really the heart of it, according to Jesus, that he who would be the greatest of all must be your servant. That's what leadership exists for, by the way, is to serve others. And the moment a leader forgets that, that leader's gone heavily off course. But verse 8 picks up again. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked him, "What's your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, 'Lighten the yoke your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with him replied, "These people have said to you, 'Your father puts a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter.' Now tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" I don't know what just happened there. Verse 12, 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam as the king had said, "Come back to me in 3 days." The king answered the people harshly. Rejecting the advice given him by the elders, he followed the advice of the young men and said, "My father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier." Verse 16 tells us, when all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, "What share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, Israel. Look after your own house, David." So the Israelites went home. But as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. And that was that. Just like that, Rehoboam lost the kingdom. As the character Merlin says to Uther Pendragon in the Arthurian saga, "What took years to build, you have broken in moments." King Rehoboam is forced to flee. When he gathers up the fighting forces of Judah and Benjamin to fight against all the other tribes under the leadership of Solomon's foreman, Jeroboam, Shemaiah the man of God gives him a message in verse 24. This is what the Lord says. "Do not go up to fight against your brothers, the Israelites. Go home, every one of you, for this is my doing." So they obeyed the word of the Lord and went home again as the Lord had ordered. And because Jeroboam was worried that he'd lose the kingdom Jerusalem again because they had the temple, he invented a new religion here in this chapter. Jeroboam makes 2 golden calves for the people to worship. Heck, Aaron only had 1, but he'd do one up on Aaron. He'd make 2 golden calves, and he'd tell them, "Behold the Lord our God who delivered us up out of Egypt." Talk about blasphemy. Because like all Americans, we know, not only is bigger better, but it's hard to pass up on a 2-for-1 bargain. Well, Jeroboam spread the two out into areas that would be easier to travel for the 10 tribes that could no longer go to Jerusalem and worship. And he anointed his own order of priests. And thus was born the religion that our modern-day Kabbalah comes from that movie stars and pop stars alike still worship today. The moral of this story is that small decisions can lead to huge consequences. In just a moment, a decision you can make can change the trajectory of your life forever. One of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite movies, The War, starring Kevin Costner and Elijah Wood before he became a hobbit, is when the character Kevin Costner, a father returning home from Vietnam, tells his son, "Boy, sometimes all it takes is a split second for you to do something you'll regret the whole rest of your life." In that movie, Kevin Costner, who returns home from war, is constantly giving his son advice. His son is fighting his own private war against the neighborhood bullies. Scene after scene in the film, Elijah Wood keeps fighting fire with fire. Rather than using peaceful means in negotiation to try to overcome his problems, he keeps smacking back harder when the other kids hit him back. Of course, the parallel in that movie is that his father, returning home with PTSD, is trying to let his son know that this is what happens on a bigger scale as well, which eventually leads to war. Right now in our culture, we seem to be facing a time where everyone's fighting their own private war, whether it's in the news against politics or people freaking out in a fast food restaurant over the lemonade machine being broken. It doesn't matter because nowadays we have cell phones, and as people pull those out, it's easy to see the mistakes of others broadcast across the internet. This is why it's important to walk according to the Spirit, submitting to Him, rather than walking in the flesh, giving in to all of our impulses and desires. This is why, at the end of Solomon's life, considering all that he had and the wisdom available to him that wasn't always tapped into, we should be asking God every day for the wisdom of Solomon. It's hardwired into the Lord's Prayer. If you're wondering where I got every day from, we're told every day to pray, "Not my will be done, but yours." Can you imagine the difference it would make to your life if every day we were so fully submitted to God that we were able to make that a part of every decision? "Not my will be done today, God, but yours." Unlike Rehoboam, I may not have a pocket full of old men to pull out and ask advice anytime I need, but I have something better. I've got the Holy Spirit living inside of me who simply says, "Yield to me, submit to me, surrender to me, and walk in me. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Well, read 1 Kings chapter 12 today, and as you do, contemplate that wisdom can be yours for the small or large price of surrendering.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.